Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and Father, it's with joy that we gather again today to remember and celebrate the wondrous resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Death could not hold him back. Death lost all its grip on him as he conquered, as he overcame the author of life himself. And it's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we gather on this day, knowing that so many years ago, he rose. The grave was empty. And Father, may you help us see our Lord risen and ascended, sitting at your right hand this morning, to believe. The only reason we are here this morning is because of this wondrous work of God. Father, would you help us to believe that wonderful news this morning? To believe also what it means for us, that we have our life, our glory hidden in Christ with you today, and that we know that our portion is life with our Lord. So grant us that also this morning we may once again lift up our eyes and seek those things that are above, to turn away from that our earthly desires, to turn away from that which is sinful, and put on the new self which is being remade into the image of our Savior Jesus Christ. To that end, Father, we confess our sins again this morning. We have not given you the glory that we should and that is due to your name. We have trusted more in ourselves or in our material possessions or the people around us than we've trusted in you. Father, our hearts have been restless, seeking, and in the dark. And please forgive us all of our sins. And as Christ rises from the grave, may we rise with him into a new life, into a new world, and look forward to the life that is to come. Father, to that end, would you bless us this morning, whether we are here, whether we are watching by live stream, to trust in you, to be built up, to believe this wonderful news, and to know that it means life and joy and peace for us as your people. And to that end, bless the reading of your word, that it would be applied to our hearts through your Holy Spirit, and that in all things we may give you the glory. We pray all this in Christ's name alone. Amen. For our scripture reading, in preparation for our text this morning, we'll turn to Mark chapter 14. We'll read verses 27 through 52. If you were here on Good Friday, you know I kind of teed it up for myself that we'd be talking about light this morning. That's not quite the focus as we look at the resurrection news and announcement in Mark. Rather, we'll draw on a different theme that we've been looking at, running into as we've jumped around in the gospel according to Mark. And that is the failure of the disciples. And to see how that is transformed or what Christ does on the resurrection morning. And so Mark chapter 14, verse 27 through 52. So after Jesus has celebrated the meal with his disciples, he then tells them, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you sleeping? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and teachers of the law and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man, wearing nothing but a linen garment, was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. So far, scripture reading in preparation for our text. We'll also sing Psalm 16, which wonderfully sings and announces the resurrection and that of this great Son of David. Psalm 16, we'll sing stanzas 4 and 5. This morning, let's once again turn to the Gospel according to Mark. We've been in this book and this Gospel about 2 months, and we come now to its final verses. There's a lot of debate on the ending of Mark. We'll read up to verse 8, which we know from early manuscripts as was handed down. And in this way, there's lots that is left unsaid in Mark's Gospel, but it in some ways leaves it on that cliffhanger in that sense of what will happen next. What is the response not only of the women, but to anyone who reads and hears this Gospel to this news that Jesus is risen? And we'll see that and focus on that also this morning. In particular, that connection of what we read in chapter 14, where Jesus himself says, "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee," and what the angel is able to share that with the women at the grave. So Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 1. "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'You're looking for Jesus of the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." Focus this morning is on that message. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what difference does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make? Well, in the Gospels accounts and in our faith, it makes all the difference. And one of the ways that the Gospel of Mark portrays that for us is if we trace Jesus' own words, chapter 14, the response of his disciples in the following passages, and the resurrection. And contrast it with, well, what we know is the likely path of many, many movements. This is what I mean. Jesus told his disciples that this is what was foretold. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them. "For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Though the disciples, and especially Peter, declared that, "No, never, Lord, never desert you, or never fall away, I'd rather die with you," it still happened. That same night, everyone deserted Jesus. And even on Easter Sunday, the 11 are not even curious to see what would happen on the third day. Strike the shepherd and the sheep scatter. Kill the leader, and even though you make a martyr, a movement will likely die. The crucifixion seems to do just that. It's exactly this point that's even taken up in the book of Acts. There, where really Christianity and the disciples are on trial, the Sanhedrin comes together and says, "What are we going to do with these disciples? What are we going to do? They keep on preaching about Jesus." And one of the Jewish leaders, Gamaliel, In his address to the Sanhedrin says in Acts 5, verse 35 through 39, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Thutis appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let the disciples go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." Gamaliel says, look, this is the logic. You get rid of the leader, the movement fails. You kill him, disciples will scatter. Movement peters out, the mission fails. And when you read the gospel front to back, as we've been doing over these months, it becomes clear that after the crucifixion, that's where the disciples of Jesus are at. So it seemed for the kingdom of heaven. So it seemed for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of renewal and repentance. Petered out. Mission fails. But in the gospel, it's then the resurrection that makes all the difference. For it is after the resurrection that the risen shepherd regathers his sheep. We'll look at that this morning. As mentioned, as we've jumped through the gospel according to Mark, one of the themes that we've come across quite a bit is how the disciples were slow to understand who Jesus is, what he's doing, and what he was teaching. Now reflect, if you've been members of our congregation, we've gone through the gospel according to Mark, you know, they weren't very good students. They weren't very good disciples. Jesus walked on water. They would be amazed. But their hearts are hardened. They still didn't understand who he was. Jesus had given them power to drive out evil and unclean spirits. And yet when they're asked to do so, they try to do it without prayer. They overestimate their ability and fail miserably when Jesus is not with them. Even as Jesus warns them about his upcoming suffering, and as he says, "I come not to be served, but to serve," they keep on jockeying for the most prominent positions in his coming kingdom. And these are simply the examples that we've looked at. The gospel itself is full of more. But okay, maybe this morning we say the disciples weren't very bright. They may be slow learners. But hey, they were loyal. They had stuck with Jesus from Galilee throughout the years and unto Jerusalem. They're his 12 disciples. They're his core group. They're not flaky. Until the night of Jesus' betrayal. It's one of Jesus' very own disciples, Judas, who betrays him with a kiss. Jesus knows this has to happen. It has been foretold. As the Psalms may say, his closest friend, the one who broke bread with him, must betray him. But it isn't even just Judas. Even all the other disciples scatter when the authorities come for Jesus himself. And Jesus had to say, the Lord would strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. All of the disciples will flee. They all struggled to stay up and pray with him during that night. And when the authorities finally come for Jesus, they all desert him and flee. And Mark even records that young man. There's always lots of questions of who is that young man who flees naked, or we say in his underwear through the nights. And some may say that is Mark himself. Might have been there that evening. But that picture of shame and embarrassment, isn't it? But in that moment, to rather run away in your underwear than to stay and be captured. We didn't read on in chapter 14, but if we had done so, we would have heard of Peter's very own betrayal of Jesus as he disowns the Lord 3 times. even calling down curses upon him, upon himself. In short, in the end, even their loyalty fails. They don't keep their promises to stick with him. And by the time Jesus has been put in the grave, and the Sabbath Saturday has passed, none of them accompany the women to the grave. None of them are interested to see what happened to Jesus' words after 3 days. What difference does it make? It seems to them, Jesus is dead. What are disciples without a rabbi? What are followers without someone to follow? What are sheep without a shepherd? They're directionless, vulnerable, and hopeless. And by this time in the gospel, the question is, who can change this? What can breathe new life and conviction and commitment into these disciples? Who can fire them up to continue the mission that they've been given? What can make them see and understand what their next step has to be? Even as Jesus had preached it to them, they're not getting it. And the gospel say, it is only one, and it is Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, the risen Lord. Though the disciples could not keep their word to not abandon Jesus, Jesus kept his word. Again and again he had told them that after 3 days he would rise from the dead. Yes, even though the Lord would strike the shepherd and the sheep would scatter, he comforts them right after that. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. He says, I will not abandon you. He would take his place ahead of them, as he's done throughout this gospel, and lead them into Galilee. So when the women come to the grave that Sunday morning, the young man, the angel, has this message for them. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Brothers and sisters, listen to those words this morning. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. The resurrection is the guarantee that nothing failed. It is all gone as Jesus has said it had to go. It means that by his death he has ransomed many as he had promised. That by his death he has broken the power of death and sin. He has defeated the grave and all evil spiritual powers. His kingdom is now established in power and in glory as that new dawn breaks, as the sun finally rises on a world in darkness. And yet note also this, the message isn't just for the women so that they understand what has happened. Immediately, Jesus is concerned to reunite with his disciples. He picks up where they had left off and he sticks to his words. I hear again the message of the angel, go tell his disciples and Peter. Tell his disciples and Peter. All the disciples had deserted Jesus. But Peter's desertion received the special honor of being singled out. Right, Peter, the leader of the twelve, who had spoken out about his unwavering commitments, would have rather died with Jesus than forsake him. Yet when the moment came, when he followed Jesus to keep an eye on him, he was also quick and adamant in his denouncement of any connection with his Lord. He feared, he denied, not once, not twice, but 3 times. And it broke Peter. He broke down and wept. He had done the one thing that he said he would never do. He had failed the test. And with him, every disciple had failed the test. But when Jesus rises from the grave, what does he do? He calls each one of them again. Yes, even Peter. Yes, especially Peter. Go and tell him. He because Jesus had not failed. And he had not made a mistake in calling these 12. And he knew that the 11 would scatter and would desert him. And the shepherd would be struck. And he rises again to gather them. Brothers and sisters, how many of you, how many of us would look up friends who had deserted us? If you knew that they had denied knowing you or had been ashamed of you or had feared to be associated with you, how many teachers would have been gladly passed this class off to the next teacher in the next grade? But not our Lord Jesus. He loves his sheep. And he is patient. And he is forgiving. And he is caring. He seeks out those who are lost. He gathers those who need him. He gathers, yes, even those who have betrayed him, doubted him, and deserted him. And this Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus who rose from the dead is the same whom we may serve and worship today. His great victory has been won. His kingdom has come in power and glory. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father. But in all of this, he's still the same. He loves his sheep. And he's still patient. And he's still forgiving. He's still caring. He still seeks out those who are lost. He still gathers those who need him. He's still gathering in failing disciples. Those who can't do it in their own strength. Those who are blinded by pride or by fear or by selfishness. And he gathers them. You see the difference that the resurrection makes. It displays the absolute power and necessity of God's grace. Because there were no perfect disciples. There was no one else to just take over from Jesus and lead the gospel or lead his kingdom. He must do it and do it himself. Because it's a work of grace. And so that we would see the extent to which our Savior goes to be our shepherd. That he has this undying, truly undying love and care for those who are near to him. A true saving grace for unworthy disciples. That yes, his death has won that grace. For his sheep. And that in his resurrection life he may apply that to his disciples and to all who he calls. And this says how he'll do it for them. The angel says he's going ahead of you into Galilee. The angel repeats the words of Jesus we know from chapter 14. They're going back to where it all started. Back to where the kingdom was first preached. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his victory, his kingship, and the arrival of the kingdom must be preached. Still has a job for them to do. But now they'll be ready. And now they won't fail. And the angel says, there you'll see him. There you'll see him. Jesus' resurrection assures his disciples of a reunion. How the disciples must have regretted their final moments with Jesus. The things that they left unsaid, the things that they would love to change. And Jesus says, you'll see me again. You'll see me in resurrected glory. They will see him as they never had before. They'll finally understand who he is. They'll understand their place in it all. And we know that they will go out from there having met Jesus, that they could then preach, saying, look, we, as his disciples, we've walked with Jesus, we've seen his miracles, we heard his parables, we dined with him, we sailed with him, we sang with him. And yet we still didn't get it. We were puzzled, we were misguided, we were fearful, we failed him, we doubted, we forsook him. He had died and we lost all hope. We were lost. But then, he rose from the dead. And we understood who he was. We understood how safe we are with him. We understood that he is the Messiah, the King, the Savior, our God, our all. See, it's there, having now seen Jesus again after the resurrection, that they are now ready. They would not bow back down. Now they would preach. Now they would boldly proclaim, Jesus is Lord. The resurrection had proven that for them. The resurrection had made that difference. Now this morning we're actually getting ahead of ourselves, aren't we? That's not in the gospel according to Mark. But we know that that's what's happened. We know from the other gospels they did see our Lord also in Galilee. And it's his resurrection that changed everything. The success of the gospel was not because they had a great core group. No, it wasn't even that Jesus had this great succession plan. No. The disciples failed miserably, but in contrast to them shines the power, the grace, the patience, the life of Jesus Christ. What made them the apostles they became was the risen Lord Jesus. Even when all seemed lost, when the shepherd had been struck and the sheep scattered, Jesus comes back from the dead to gather his sheep and go ahead of them to establish his kingdom. And know well this morning, it's not just the fact of the resurrection. It's not just the fact that God did something amazing. It was a miracle. It is what it is because of who was raised from the dead. And that it is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have highlighted the struggles and failures of the disciples because this is a huge part of the gospel message. But it's not the main message. The main message is, look at what Jesus Christ has done and who he is. When you meditate on the resurrection this morning, don't just think God did something amazing. Think of who it is who is risen. That it is Jesus who is a Savior. We may say has gone to hell and back for his disciples, for his sheep. You know, it's Jesus who is this leader who single-handedly, because everyone had forsaken him, single-handedly wins the victory, but then says, let me share it. Let me share it with my companions. That it is Jesus who is the King who has been given all power and authority in heaven and on earth. And yet what does the angel get to say to the women? That Jesus wants to see his friends. And he's gone to the place, the appointment that they had made to Galilee ahead of them. The one who is raised is a man of his word. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. What difference does Jesus' resurrection make? It's not just about a miracle. It's not even about the foundation of Christianity, that this is what made the movement move. At the heart of it is the difference it makes, is that Jesus lives and reigns, and that it is Jesus who does so. That without him, like the disciples, we are nothing. But now that he has won, now that he lives, we may know him, we may trust him, we may follow him. And that's the call for each one of us this morning. Jesus' resurrection is a call to you today. Will you follow him? Will you stop living life your own way? Will you stop thinking that Jesus can come and he can serve you and your kingdom? Will you, with the 11, start listening to what he is saying instead of just hearing what you want him to say? Will you trust where he is leading you? Will you rest in his accomplishments and let go of your own? Our whole study of this gospel for the 2 months that we've done so has been about this very question. When you believe these claims that are in the gospel and what it says about Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that it has been proven by his life, by his death, and then finally and most greatly by his resurrection, will you believe that you can't live your life as you want anymore? Jesus' life, as his resurrection, comes with a claim for each one, every one of us. Jesus says, I've gone ahead of you. Now follow me. I've won the victory. Follow me. I've defeated death. Follow me. I'm powerful. I'm faithful. I have eternal life. Follow me. I have rest. I have joy. I have peace in full. Follow me. Leave your fear. Leave your pride. Leave your guilt. Leave your shame. Leave it all behind and follow me. For I'm risen. The disciples did. Peter was reinstated. They would go on to spread that message. That Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. Step into Jesus' resurrection and you'll notice the glorious work that now must be done. Following him, the work of disciples. To study, to learn, but also to share, to evangelize, to praise, to proclaim the glorious deeds of our Savior. It hasn't failed. And we haven't failed. Why? Because the risen shepherd regathered his sheep. And he does so today. Amen.